This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, Dolly Janet Hannon will be here to talk about the rules for musical freestyle, and we'll also have a tip from Joan Darnell. But first, the USDF would like to congratulate the newest USDF certified instructors and trainers who recently attended the exam held at Elmhurst Farm in Loretta, Pennsylvania. The new instructors at training through first level include Cody Pritchard of Milford, New York, Jessica Fay of Cholera, Maryland, and Katie Howe of Leesburg, Virginia. The new USDF certified instructor trainers at second level include Erin Sweeney of Gordonville, Virginia, and M. Johnson of Snow Camp, North Carolina. The new USDF certified instructor trainers at third through fourth level include Lisa Hall of Export, Pennsylvania. And there's more information on the USDF's instructor certification program on the website at usdf.org. And a note for judges, L graduates, and competition management that the USDF Judges Committee has completed the revisions to the USDF Judges Checklist, and that's available as a resource compiled by top experts, free to all USDF members through eTrack at usdf.org. And now, USEF Senior Dressage Judge, FEI 3-Star Para Equestrian Dressage Judge, and USDF L Faculty Member Joan Darnell joins us to talk about making the most of your show warm-up. Joan, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
We're going to talk about an article that you have authored about that show preparation, the warm-up preparation, which is all too important, of course, to get the most out of those last moments. So where would you like to begin?
Okay. My philosophy when you go to the show and you are doing your warm-up is to not be training your horse. Your horse should already be trained by the time you get to the show. You should know what your test is and have a plan in mind so that when you get to the show, you can get there early, plan your strategy, try to get your horse familiar with the arena. Any distractions that there might be, you'll be able to be aware of them and deal with them. And then when you go into the warm-up for the show day, you've got your plan in place. You have, sort of planned your strategy. You've got your how long it takes to warm up. You've calculated that out previously. You're prepared. You're dressed. You're shined. Your horse is braided, he's comfortable and ready to go to work. And so you know how long you need to prepare to make your best appearance for the arena for the actual for the test. So when you get into the warm-up, you want to make sure you check in with your ring steward and then just go about your normal routine for warming your horse up. All the warm-up should be is to supple the horse to make them more focused, have more attention, and then you can just go ahead and go into the ring and perform your test and do your best. The warm-up should include some of the movements of the test. It doesn't have to be all the movements of the test, but I always like to show, if I'm going to be doing a turn on the haunches, do one of those just to let them know that might be coming up in the test, do a halt rein back perhaps, practice a couple of halts, anything that you can do to supple the horse to do little figure eights, suppling, turning, balancing, that kind of thing, so that you can get the best performance out of your horse when you actually go into the competition ring.
Well, there's a very good point there. We have to remember that this is not a training period. The training's done.
Right.
This is just about showing and the timing.
Right. The most important thing is knowing how much time your horse needs. Some horses, they can just go in with 10 minutes of warm-up. If you do more than that, then they're going to be tired and you will lose some of the energy and brilliance as you go into the arena. Other horses are a little more tense and it takes a little longer, maybe half an hour or even a little bit longer than that, to get your horse ready to be more focused on you rather than the surrounding areas. And so that way, if you have, you know your horse, you know how much time you need, whether it's a lazy horse or a little bit of a hotter horse, how much time you'll need to prepare to go in and do your best.
And also allowing for your own familiarity of the environment too, of the showgrounds, if you've not been before.
That's exactly right. And that's really important. I think one of the most important things, we've had this come and bite us once or twice, was to, you'll get your ride times as you come before the show. They'll either email them, or that's, I guess, the way they do it now, or you can go online and check the show secretary information for what your ride times are. But it's always really important to check it the night before you leave the show, the day before the show, check the ride times, and then I always check, double check again in the morning just to make sure that nothing has changed so that I can stick to my game plan and get in there and have all the time I need. The worst thing in the world is to get to the show and find out, oh, geez, I'm riding half an hour. Your horse isn't braided. He hasn't had breakfast. You're not dressed. And so everything is just a mad dash to try and get ready. So if you've double-checked a couple of times before, then there aren't any surprises on show day.
Preparation is key, of course, as is being fully aware of the procedures, you know, the rules, obviously, your test written naturally, but all the other finite details that make that show trip a success, that it makes the whole experience enjoyable.
That's right. That's why I always ride my test a couple of times beforehand. The night before, I have visualized the arena. I know where any distractions that my horse might be aware of so that I can deal with them as before they even happen. And then I do it again in the morning before the test. And then when I go in, everything is just like routine. Hopefully no more surprises. I've thought of everything that can happen and what I expect to happen, and just go in and do a really good show. And you know, sometimes things happen, but you just try to deal with that, and hopefully your warm-up has prepared you so that your horse pays more attention, is more focused, and you can just go ahead and ride through any unexpected occurrences.
Any tips, Joan, for handling those butterflies? You know, those show nerves, which we usually get in some way, even
right,
with experience?
I think the best thing to do is just to have your routine down pat, so everything is really familiar. You know where things are, where to grab things, nothing, you know, that everything is, you have a little routine, everything is in its place so that you can just pull off what you need to do to get, to stay comfortable, to stay relaxed, to not have any surprises. I think that's part of the warm-up, and is that you just anticipate what might go wrong and then how you're going to deal with it. And then always remember, too, the judges are just people out there, and we really do want the riders to do their best. And so the riders that do the best, in my experience, are the ones that have done the mental preparation, the physical preparation. Their horses are ready to go, and they're ready to go.
Getting that routine down pat.
That's right. That's just, if it's just routine and it's just another day at the office, sort of, then it doesn't have to be anything to worry about or to, you know, be afraid of. But just go out there and just do your best, just like it's another day.
Enjoy and smile. Enjoy
and
relax.
Yes, this is, it's a lot of hard work, but it's very rewarding. The horses are just the most generous animals, and it's just a joy to be able to see a harmonious ride where both the horse and the rider are having a great time.
Great advice, Joan. Thank you very much indeed for coming on the program and sharing that with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And you'll find Joan's article in the October issue of the USDF Connection magazine. And now, USEF Senior Dressage Judge, Chair of the USDF Freestyle Committee, a USDF Certified Instructor and Trainer through 4th Level, and USDF Bronze, Silver and Gold Medalist, Janet Dolly Hannon, is here to offer some advice on knowing the rules for musical freestyle.
The rules are evolving and changing, and it can be very confusing in terms of putting together a freestyle, and with the changes in computers and computer programs that are available, we have many more people doing their own freestyles. And if you're going to do it yourself and not hire a freestyle designer, You need to know the rules. The rules, guidelines, and definitions for freestyle on the USDF website are full of information and very helpful. You also want to check the USEF rules and just be sure you're in compliance, because if your freestyle was too long, you don't want to get a deduction and not have movements not scored after the final halt. If you included movements and or transitions, and I know there's been a lot of confusion about that this year, that are not allowed, it's a problem. You get a deduction. So you want to look at the score sheets. On the score sheets, and we've also had several articles and previous podcasts on this, it states clearly what is allowed and what is not allowed. So what is allowed and what is forbidden. So know the rules. I had a competitor that I'd given a fairly good freestyle score to come up and speak with me at a competition about the score, and he was quite confused about why his degree of difficulty score was not higher, and I believe the choreography score too. He thought that they were on the low side, and it was a first-level freestyle, and the reason that he didn't have a higher score there was because he hadn't included either a canter loop, like we see in first-level test 3, or any counter-canter in the choreography, and he actually felt pretty strongly that that should not affect his degree of difficulty score, since counter-canter is not required at first level. What I try to explain to him, and what I want to be sure people are clear about, you must be at least at the degree of difficulty of the highest test of the level of the freestyle. So that means for his first level freestyle, without including some sort of a canter loop with a little bit of counter-canter, there's a few steps there, and or counter-canter, which is out clearly on the score sheets, his degree of difficulty was not up to the highest tests of the level. So I tried to explain that. I'm not quite sure at the time he understood, but I think that's important to know. Look at the highest test of the level and know what the expectation is. To get a high degree of difficulty, you've got to have at least that level and or higher. And some people try to get a little too creative, and it's difficult to see what they are doing. So knowing the rules, this is a little addendum, be sure the judge can see clearly what you're doing. Because if it's confusing, then it affects the scores. So the judges now have to take tests on rules, including freestyle, and I highly recommend that all competitors, especially if you're doing your own freestyle, know the rules and be sure and run your freestyle by a professional, your instructor, or someone you respect, so that they look at it from the judge's perspective. Good luck with your own freestyle.
And our thanks to Dolly, who will be back with more tips on the freestyle in upcoming episodes. And finally, before we leave you this week, we'd like to remind you to renew your membership for 2016 now via the website at usdf.org by December 31st to receive a $10 gift certificate from Dover Saddlery. Only members who renew by that deadline will receive the 2015 yearbook issue of the USDF Connection magazine. And all members who renew for 2016 will enjoy savings with USDF Member Perks Partners. And as always, we remind you to take advantage of all the educational items that we have on the USDF's Online Learning Center at eTrack. Just go to usdf.org and follow the link there. Also, whilst you're on the website, be sure to check the 2015 Adequan USDF Annual Convention schedule for the most up-to-date information on educational presentations and meetings that will take place at the convention, which this year will be held at the Rio All Suite Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, from December the 2nd through the 5th. And if you're a new listener to the podcast online, you can also listen to it by downloading it from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app, so you can listen to the show on the go. Until next week, thank you all for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.